fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 13th day of March, year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. We start every show begins live broadcasting, every public broadcasting, every day, Monday through Friday, with my show, the John Moore Show. And we do begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm very proud to say this should be done in every public and private school, every school day of the year, quite frankly. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Proper tip of the day, looks like we may have some time to expand on this a bit, is to read the following book. I try to recommend this about once a week or so. It's so important. World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. I say again, the title of the book is World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. I first read this book, it's been, I guess, 25 years ago or so. And I count Ed Griffin as a friend of mine. I was a speaker at his most recent Red Pill University event. It was a great time. All the great people that were there. And I've interviewed Ed Griffin on this show about that specific book. He's written a number of books. The first part of the book gets into the whole history of not only cancer, but the healthcare and pharmaceutical industry in general. The second half, and it's been a while since I read the book, so don't hold me to my recollection here. He gets into cancer itself, and the protocols to not get cancer, which is what I've been doing every day for 25 plus years. I'm not going to tell you what the protocols are because you may not read the book if I tell you what the protocols are. I will tell you that my dear wife, Dr. Marianne Moore, who passed away in June of 2019 from breast cancer, about 6 or 8 weeks before she died, she could still talk, more or less in a more or less normal fashion. She asked me, honey, are you mad at me because I didn't follow the cancer prevention protocols like you did the past 25 years? I said, "No, babe, I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry. I'm sad. I'm disappointed, but that was your choice not to do that, and I respect that." And as I mentioned, 6 or 8 weeks later, she had passed away from the breast cancer. There's cancer cells are in every human being all the time. That's just the nature of being a human being. Doesn't matter where you live, who you are, cancer cells are in your body all the time. You could be a 20-year-old Olympic athlete or an 85-year-old grandparent. It doesn't matter. You have cancer cells in your body. What happens is your body's immune system, if the cancer gets active, it cannot hold back the cancer cells, cannot fight them anymore, and the cancer cells are allowed to multiply and become tumors and so forth. The protocols in Mr. Griffin's book prevent that from happening. That's what they do. And they work. So the cancer, and along the same lines, they've had effective cures for cancers for many decades. They're kept from the public, of course. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It may even be a trillion dollar industry, I don't know. But certainly multi-billion dollar industry. And let's see, I may have got a note from Mr. Federer here. Okay, he should be calling in shortly, Bill Federer. The two things that kill most Americans most of the time are heart disease and cancer, both of which are relatively preventable with a proper lifestyle. There are groups of people in this world. There's one group I recall reading in Mr. Griffin's book that have no cancer in their society. And now we're now joined by my friend Bill Federer. Bill Federer is a author of about 25 books. And we talk a lot about one book, but we talk about others as well. And Bill, good morning.
Hey, John. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us, sir. Your website is what, sir, again?
It's AmericanMinute.com.
American Minute. Okay. Because I keep wanting to put the in front of it, but it's just plain AmericanMinute.com.
Correct.
And your American Minute is heard on about how many radio stations around the country every day of the week, if you know?
Yeah, well, it's on the VCY American Network out of Milwaukee, and they have close to 100 stations, and then also the BOTT Radio Network, BOTT, and it has 120 stations.
Right.
And
right.
then there's different independent stations that air it, but they're 1 minute of something that happened on each date in history, and I try to weave in the faith behind that. And then I send out emails, and I go around the country and speak. And
you're a busy guy.
Right.
I know. I won't fly commercial unless it's some kind of emergency. But in my road trips to Florida or Washington State across the country, or New York, wherever I might be going, I notice that I'll hear the American Minute wherever I might be going. It's just ubiquitous all over the country. And, well, we have what's being called an invasion. I was resistant to using that word to describe the illegal aliens coming to this country for a while, but about 3 years ago, I found I had no choice because invasion is the most accurate description of these illegal aliens coming into our country. And there's a percentage of them that are Muslims, aren't there, sir?
Right. I was down in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago, and one of the gentlemen that came by my book table, we were talking, he teaches English to immigrants, and he said that they would predominantly be Hispanic. But he said in the last 6 months, the majority of them are Muslim, and they are getting their time off for their 5 times a day to pray, and the government is driving them. So he's actually had to drive them to mosques as part of his, job working for the government. And then they get on buses and they get sent by the Biden administration to cities all across America. And the
amazing. Well, I'm no expert in Islam, but I believe that a Muslim can fulfill that five times a prayer deal any place they happen to be. They put their little prayer rug down and they face towards Mecca, where that might be, without the need to go to a mosque. That's saying going to a mosque for that five times a day is something that is not mandatory, but it's something that they would like to do, isn't it?
Right. I mean, specifically on Fridays is when they go to the mosque, but they do pray five times a day. And it is a concept that wherever they put their rug down, they've claimed for Islam. So it's not. So when you understand that Muhammad was a religious leader and a political leader and a military leader, in their mind, they don't see a distinction. We in the West try to impose a distinction upon them and say that the religious side is different than the political military side. But the fundamental ones, they don't see that. But, you know, as far as invasions go, I was reading about the Roman Empire. And, you know, St. Pat's Day is coming up. So I wrote a book on St. Patrick, but I couldn't help give the prehistory. Around the 2nd century A.D., China completes large sections of the Great Wall of China. And this causes the Hun, Mongolian-type people. They go by a Zaganu-type name that begins with an X. But anyway, they can't attack into China as easily, so they turn west and attack a neighboring tribe, which attacks a neighboring tribe, which displaces another tribe. And it starts this mass human migration westward, and they begin to overrun the Roman border. And at first, they came slow. You had some of the Visigoths, and they would assimilate, and they would learn the Latin language, and some of them would get adopted into Roman families because the Romans were not having fewer and fewer children. It was one of those phenomena.
Sounds familiar.
That Will and Ariel Durant noticed. Familiar. He said, as civilizations become more advanced, they wait longer to have children and have fewer of them. And when civilizations are less advanced, they start earlier and have more of them. And so he said, one of the ways that nature punishes, the civilization is that the less advanced always end up overrunning the more advanced, just by population. Anyway, so the Visigoths came slow, and many of them got into the military, and they were, you know, generals. But then they began to come across the border faster and faster, and they didn't assimilate. And the one particular winter, the Rhine River froze, and a large group of Visigoths come across the ice, and they're on the other side, and the river thaws in the spring, and no Romans come to chase them out. And so they stay, and then they stay the next year. Now, Rome only wanted the army armed, not the common people.
Really?
And so this was a typical struggle in dictatorships. You know, Greece and Romans, and so they would, if they armed the entire population, they could defend against outside attacks easier, but then the population could get together and overthrow their dictator. And so the dictator would only want to have a small group of loyal yes men surrounding him armed. And so But he was able to keep control of his country. But then when they were attacked, he didn't have enough armed. And so that's what happened with Rome. They had the Praetorian Guard. And being in the military was a lifetime career. You didn't like switch careers, and wasn't like National Guard type of thing. Right. And so the Roman legions were stretched around the frontiers, and they couldn't stop these immigrants. And so once they came across slow and assimilated, then they came across larger. Then it was like they blew the whistle and they began to flood across and have violence. And so when you have a border that's weak, it doesn't just let people across. It actually invites aggression. It invites military encroachment. And it happens when you study civilizations that it's like in weather, you have low pressure areas, that attract the wind from the high pressure areas.
Right,
and so you always have this, it's attempting to balance, and it always creates a low pressure and high pressure, and the air is always rushing. And so if you look at it as population groups, population always flows toward where the money is, where the success is, where the opportunities are. But once they flood in, they end up overrunning where they go to, and then it ends up collapsing. And then, a generation or two goes by, and another area of the world ends up becoming the prosperous area, and the migration of population starts flowing in that direction. And so it's like every country gets their turn. For a while, Alexander the Great and the Greeks were the most powerful empire in the world. But what's Greece today? It's a third world in debt country, basically.
Right.
And then the Romans were the most powerful empire in the world. But what's Italy today? It's sort of being overrun. It's not there. Spain was the biggest empire in the world for centuries. But what's Spain today? It's not that powerful. Germany was the Austro-Hungarian Empire was the biggest one for a while. But what's Austria and Hungary today? The Swedes had a global empire for a while. Gustav Adolphus of Sweden, and they settled what became Delaware and New Jersey. But what's Sweden today? The Dutch, they had a global merchant military empire from Japan to Jakarta to South Africa to Goa, India. But what's the Netherlands today? You could go through the same with France. Louis the 14th, the Sun King, a global French empire, Vietnam, Cambodia, and all about that history.
Oh, yes.
And around the world. But what's France today? And so it's interesting, the psyche of a nation, when they're at the top of the pile, they sort of entertain this idea that they're going to be there forever.
Right.
And they get weak, and it sort of goes, anyway, I'm just rambling. But,
well, you're not rambling at all, Bill, because that's a nice rendition that is very, very applicable to 2024 and the United States. Absolutely applicable. President Trump, there's no doubt at this point, as of yesterday, he'll be the Republican nominee, as if it was in doubt previously. We have some high-level officials. There was a high-level election official in West Virginia exposing the well-known fact that the 2020 election was stolen from President Trump. More and more evidence of that being brought out all the time. President Trump has said that once he's back in office, he will have the largest deportation in American history to get these illegal aliens out of the country. That would be quite an event, wouldn't it, sir?
Right. Well, you had Eisenhower promising to do that. You had different ones. But the signal needs to be sent, because during COVID, there was no, the numbers were so small. But under Biden, they're actually building a road through the Darien Gap. Different reports that they build like a mall down there in Panama so that these immigrants can, and then, Chinese will fly into Panama, then they have to fly down to Colombia, then they have to come up on ground, and the government gives them, little kits and everything that even includes condoms. I mean, it's like, and then they basically, they advertise over in, Somalia and
right,
and in Africa,
right,
with like a travel agency, but they're the illegal coyotes, and they'll say, for so much money, we'll smuggle you into America. And then now Biden gives them an app so they can pre-register as an illegal alien.
Right.
And then when they come to the border, they just show it to the guards and the border guards. And so they're not, quote unquote, counted as illegals because they had registered. And then they give them a court date that's 7 years in the future.
Right.
And everybody knows that by that time they'll have, married and been ingrained in society. And so the thought is, if every one of these people coming across the border was going to be a Republican voter, do you think Biden would be letting them in?
Well, of course not.
And so there's even an executive order I just read about where Biden is having the military and the Department of Justice helping to register the illegal aliens to vote. And the
hold on, Bill, we got a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sign, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner and The Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, you need an Energy Cleaner. If you have arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, same thing, Energy Cleaner will help. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Energy Cleaner, I'm picking up a fresh batch of brand-new Energy Cleaners today to take care of my people that need them. You can buy your Energy Cleaner right there at my website using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, or call my toll-free air line. It's 800-592-9543. Visiting with Bill Federer, his website is AmericanMinute.com. I say again, AmericanMinute.com. Bill, the Somali people are almost 100% Muslim, aren't they, sir?
Yes, and Voice of Martyrs lists the countries where Christians are persecuted, and Somalia is one of the top ones. And they say that if somebody converts to Christianity in Somalia, they're lucky if they live out the rest of the day. And so they are bringing them in by large numbers. I was just in Minneapolis airport last week, and they're speaking Somalian. I mean, it's like the whole airport is like all the staff. I love people from all the different countries around the world, but you do get the feeling that if they decided to, they could shut down that airport and lots of them around the country. It's Executive Order 14019. Executive Order 14019, and it is Biden registering illegal aliens to vote using the Department of Justice. And the Secretary of State of Mississippi was saying, stop doing this. You're interfering with the state affairs.
Right,
but
right.
So these illegals coming across, that part of the motivation is to have more Democrat voters. That started with Lyndon Johnson. So prior to Lyndon Johnson, most immigrants into America came from Europe. Biggest countries were Germany, Ireland, and England. And they had a work ethic, sometimes called the Protestant work ethic, but it was a social stigma to receive a welfare handout. It was considered a personal failure, and you'd be embarrassed in front of your neighbors if they knew that you were receiving welfare. And Lyndon Johnson noticed that as they refused welfare, they would vote for candidates that would take away as little as possible from their hard-earned work. And so they ended up being Republicans. And as they got more successful, they would, you know, pool their money and live together in the same apartment. And then they would buy a little business and buy a little farm. And as they moved up the social ladder, they again would vote for candidates that would take away as little as possible. So they would vote Republican. Johnson noticed, as well as Teddy Kennedy, that immigrants from real poor third world countries did not have that stigma. And they would come across the border. You would have Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, sign them up for welfare and make them be burdens on local communities. And then they would tend to vote for it to continue. And they would be permanent Democrat voters. So all the illegals coming across is a way to build a Democrat voter base. I was in California, and a sharp Asian lady who's an attorney comes up. And she said, my family came from an Asian country on boats during one of the persecutions. And my parents signed up for welfare. And she said, it's been 30 years. I keep trying to get them to get off welfare, but they're scared to. It's like, it's been 30 years. And they're still, once you get people to sign up for free money, there is a very strong chance that they'll continue that. And they'll vote for candidates that want to continue that. And it's a way to build a permanent Democrat voter base. And then Lyndon Johnson noticed that if you had a couple and a family and they worked hard, they, again, would tend to vote Republican. But if you destroyed the families in the inner cities and had the single mom sign up for welfare and have the government be the provider, and then it would be generational. And so you'd have generations of destroyed families, but it would be a permanent Democrat voter base. And so that's one of the thoughts of why Biden is allowing these illegals to come over. And that's sort of the innocent version. As bad as that is, that's innocent,
right,
compared to the next step, and that's violence. So I wrote a book on the history of socialism, and again, you're the expert on all these tactics, but they'll do something and then they'll see what they need to do to perfect it. Then they do something a little bit worse and they see what they do to perfect it. And so we had Occupy Wall Street, and they had set up camps in inner cities all across the country. Relatively benign, just sort of a nuisance. And then we have the George Floyd, and they don't just have camps, they actually take over cities like Seattle's Autonomous Zone and Tacoma and these downtowns. Well, what's the next iteration? What if you...
We'll get into the next iteration after this break. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. You want to get up to speed on the worst crime in human history? That would be the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. You can do so at thelibertyman.com. More than 200 articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors, such as Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, and he says in no uncertain terms that the COVID vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt. They're not side effects. They're the direct intended effects. Products that will help you at my website as well, obviously the energy cleaner. There's other products that will help you. And a reference for the Archive and Intentional Christian Community, would you like to live in a neighborhood which only has conservative patriot Christians That's the Archive of an Intentional Christian Community. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Bill Federer, his website's AmericanMinute.com. I say again, AmericanMinute.com. And Bill, a Muslim, they like to, as best they can, in order to get to their Muslim heaven, they would like to duplicate the life of Muhammad as much as they can. Is that an accurate statement, sir?
Yeah, they don't call it heaven, they call it paradise. And it's
a physical,
sensual place with rivers of wine and women. And so it's basically in Arabia, they had tribes or clans, and they had a gang structure. And if you joined the gang or the tribe, you participated in the booty. So there's a hadith that Muhammad would remind them not to steal from the booty, and that the messenger of Allah gets a fifth of the booty. So Muhammad got a fifth of the booty. But what he did is added an eternal dimension to the booty. So you could, if you fought in battle, you can come away with four wives plus as many extra women as your right hand possesses. And then if you die, you go to paradise where you get 72 women. And so it's...
No, they're not women. They're nine-year-old girls. They're nine-year-old girls. I found that out.
Well, they have... there's all kinds of different interpretations. But yes, they are sensual. One hadith even hints that there's little boys in there in the mix for those that prefer that. So it's a sensual place. And it's a unique combination of motivations, religious fervor and lust. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, Bill. So we got Somalis coming here. Among the adults, 6 out of 10 are illiterate. There's a 41% literacy rate among Somali adults. So the question is, a illiterate Somali adult who can't read their own language, Somali language or Arabic, what can they possibly do to be productive in the United States if they can't even read and write their own language, let alone English? That's a rhetorical question, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I was in Helena, Montana, and they were talking about how they were bringing in Muslims from some third world African country into Montana. And they're like, they can't speak the language. They have no marketable skills. They're just there to be number one, Democrat voters. Number two, there's a phenomenon that I observed, you know, running for Congress. So either party will spend 10 years working on redrawing a congressional district map.
Right.
So from 1911 on, Taft signed the reapportionment bill. So instead of it being one congressman for every 30,000 people, they do a census every 10 years and take the country's population and divide it by 435. Why that number? In 1857, when they redesigned the U.S. Capitol and the House chamber, the architect only put in 435 seats. He could have put in 436, and we would have 436 congressmen. He could have put in 500, but he only put in. And so now it's one congressman for every 700,000 people, and there's no way you can shake that many hands.
We have states where the entire state doesn't have 700,000 people, don't we?
Yeah, well, Montana and Alaska, they only have one congressman.
Right, exactly.
So the thought was if they bring these illegals in, they're counted in the census, and therefore when they divide up the 435, an area can get more congressional representation, even if they're not citizens. So even if they're not citizens and they don't vote, they're counted in the census. And so California has 55 congressmen. And so if they, everybody that with wealth is moving out. And so they want to replace the population. And so the observation, redrawing congressional district map, all they have to do is let crime go up in the big cities, and pro-family people leave.
Right.
And they tend to be more Republican, pro-family.
Right.
And then
right.
pro-business people leave. How can you have right. your small shop when the windows are getting smashed? And so if pro-family, pro-business people or a higher percentage Republican leave, who's left in the city? More people on government handouts and welfare and entitlements. Well, they are a higher percentage Democrat. And so if they let crime go up, instead of redrawing a congressional district map, the Republicans just move out. And then in the people that move out, their names stay on the voter rolls. So now they have a cushion for fraud, right? They say, you know, maybe 50,000 people in the city, but if they got 50,000 extra names on the
right.
vote rolls, they can do fraud. Nobody will question it.
Right.
And then in election years, whoever wins the big city in a state ends up winning the whole state. And whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes for the state, and the president's elected by electoral votes.
Right.
So they literally have a political a motivation to have crime go up in the city so that the Republicans move out. They get a monopoly. They can do whatever fraud. And if they win the city, they win the whole state. They get all the electoral votes, and the president's elected by electoral votes. They've even narrowed it down to not just the city, just particular precincts in the city.
Really?
And if they win those, that's what happened with Chicago with John F. Kennedy. There was this one particular precinct, and you know, with the there was the Jimmy Hoffa, one of those names, delivered that precinct, and that was enough to tip the city. And if they win the city of Chicago, they win the whole state, and then they get all the electoral votes for the state, and that was enough to get Kennedy over the top. So it's relatively small areas within a half a dozen big cities. And so you had Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Milwaukee, and another one. But they were able to swing those cities, and they got those states, and they got all the electoral votes for the state, and that was enough to put Biden in. If you didn't
think well,
there wasn't the fraud there to begin with.
I agree with what you're saying on one hand, Bill. On the other, I think there's a strong possibility that these illegal aliens, they may be registered to vote, but even if they don't show up at the polls, the Democratic Party would vote on their behalf without their even knowing about it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they are, like in New York, they're letting illegals vote in local elections. But I was in Texas. I spoke at an event, and Louis Gohmert came to it. I was honored that he was there. Got a chance to visit with him. The lady that ran it, it was a Grassroots America dinner. She said that on the motor voter, when you get your driver's license, you automatically get registered to vote. And she said there's one little box that you check for citizen. And she said, I have talked to everybody in the Texas government. Does anybody check that if somebody checks citizen, that they actually are a citizen? Is anybody in any department in the government going through the forms and seeing, okay, they checked citizen, let me take this person's name and check it against some database to make sure they actually are a citizen? She says, nobody. There's nobody in the Texas government that checks. In other words, it's the honor system, which means that anybody getting a driver's license can simply, if they're illegal, just check the citizen box, and lo and behold, they get their voter card sent to them as citizens.
And, Bill. Now, going back to the literacy issue, if you can't read and write your native language, the Somali language, how can you walk into an American polling place and read something in a language you don't even speak, let alone read and write? How is that possible?
Unless they have Somalis working at the polling place and they just tell them what to do. But that is a good question.
Well, you can't. Obviously, it's a rhetorical question. You obviously can't. I mean, if I was walking to a French polling station and would pick up a French ballot, I wouldn't have a clue what I'm looking at. I can't read, write, or speak French. I'd be hopeless in there unless I had somebody actually tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's from the book I wrote on socialism, Study in the Cold War. And again, you're the expert on this. But I saw the color revolutions and how they would observe all the groups in a country, ethnically, Bosnians, Croats, Serbs, religiously, Sunni, Shia, Orthodox, economically, racially, it didn't matter. They would call some victims and others oppressors, haves and have-nots, and then they would stir up animosity between them, and they would organize riots and protests, and then they would co-opt the media to blame the leader of the little country for all of the problems. And when the leader fell in popularity, then they would do a coup or a rigged election and replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. And then the KGB learned how to do this and would do it in reverse. And so these tactics under Obama began to be implemented in America. Breaking our country into groups. Now they want to break it into Christians versus Christian nationalists. It's like, wait a second. All nationalism is the opposite of globalism. Right. And then nationalism depends on what nation you're in. And we're a nation that guarantees rights to individuals from a creator. It's government from the consent of the governed. Whereas in socialist nations, like the USSR, there are no individual rights. And then used to be called Christian patriotism. And every president, Democrat and Republican, favored it. I mean, FDR, an Episcopalian, he passed out Gideon's New Testament and Book of Psalms to all the soldiers in World War II, wrote the foreword to it. As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible. He definitely wanted to preserve our nation, and he definitely was passing out Bibles, right, promoting Christianity. And so they're creating a boogeyman. They want to bring division, and it's one of their tactics. But the concern is that all these illegals being put in cities all across America, instead of Occupy Wall Street, instead of Seattle Autonomous Zones, what if there actually was killings that would take place in cities all across America in August, and the response would be government help, and then the government comes in with its woke army that they've purged of anybody with traditional values, and they basically set up martial law. And how can you have an election during all this? It would be an excuse to disrupt the electoral process again.
Precisely.
And I pray that I'm wrong. I mean, there's the potential for a financial crisis. There's a, you know, China could take Taiwan. I mean, there's lots of different scenarios. But I am suspicious enough to think that we're talking global power, and I can't see the powers that are wanting a global government just to sit back and let Trump just walk in and dismantle what they worked so hard for. I think that they might have a couple things up their sleeve.
Well, they do, absolutely. Now, let's go back to this topic of Christian nationalism. You know, the way that people proposing this say a Christian nationalist is a Christian who believe their rights come from God and not from the government. That's as basic as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Declaration of Independence. All men are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And then the Declaration says, and government from the consent of the governed. So America basically can be summed up in one word, individual, that we are a country that's dedicated to guaranteeing to individuals their freedoms. And whereas the rest of the world, it's group. That your worth is dependent on what group you belong to. Are you a CCP member? Are you a Muslim male in the Ummah community? Are you a Brahmin in the highest caste in India? It's all group-based, but in America, it's individual-based. And they don't like that. And so they want to. But it's interesting. I read an article. Rockefeller Foundation is giving money to produce an after-party Bible study curriculum to be used in churches to teach Christians not to get involved. Yet that same Rockefeller Foundation is funneling money to LGBTQ activists to get them involved.
Get involved in what, sir?
Pardon?
Get involved in what?
Get involved in changing the politics.
Gotcha, okay.
So what a brilliant strategy.
You
demotivate your opposition by shaming them into not getting involved, yet you funnel money to your activists and to get them involved, you know? And so that's all that, you know, why do they insist on calling pro-life organizations anti-abortion? I know lots of pro-life organizations, not one of them has anti-abortion in their name.
Of
Yet
course not.
Every single article on the issue, they will call pro-life people anti-abortion. Why don't they call them what they want to be called? Because they know anti is a negative word, and they want to implant it in people's minds with a negative word. And so why don't they call patriotic Americans patriotic? Well, no, they don't like, they want to use the word nationalist. And it's a word game. And
a very effective word game.
And the irony is they are projecting. So they're the ones that are setting up a nationalism. It is a woke nationalism. It's a trans nationalism. And they don't want freedom of speech. They want to silence people that disagree with them. They want to cancel people that disagree with them. They basically want an insider club of their supporters, and they want to take away freedoms of the rest. So they're the ones that are setting up a nationalism that we have to be afraid of, but they are projecting on us. So it's the same way that little kids, the natural response is, I didn't start the fight, you did. Or a cheating spouse will
appear. We got our last break, Bill. Hold on, we'll be right back.
In the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Visiting with Bill Federer. His website is AmericanMinute.com. I say again, AmericanMinute.com. He's published about 25 books or so. One we like to talk about is, that I think everybody needs to read, is the following title: What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. The subtitle is The History of Islam and the United States. Bill, would it be a fair statement that the religion of peace, which is what they call themselves, They regard world peace as happening once Islam controls the entire planet. Is that a fair statement, sir?
Right. So the word Islam means submission to the will of Allah. A Muslim is one who has submitted, and they think there will be world peace when the whole world has submitted to the will of Allah. So to a fundamental Muslim, world peace is the same as world Islam. It's sort of like the communists, their word for peace, M-I-R, Mir, like the Mir space station. Right. It also means world communism. Right. So right. World peace means world communism. Same way in Islam, world peace is world Islam. Now, a moderate Muslim thinks the world will submit to Allah later, maybe in the distant future, maybe at the end of the world, maybe it's even figurative. And since it's so far off, they really don't think about it, and they just want to live their lives. And they actually enjoy having you as a friend or a neighbor. The fundamental Muslim thinks the world is supposed to submit to Allah now, and they're really excited. They want to help make it happen. The dilemma for the West is the nicer the West shows itself, the fundamental Muslims view that niceness as weakness, and they take that as an indicator from Allah that they're supposed to attack. And when they attack, the fundamental Muslims are just as happy to kill a moderate Muslim as they are to kill an infidel. Right. And so the moderate Muslims are between a rock and a hard place. When the non-Muslim world shows itself strong, they can enjoy becoming more in the secular direction. But when the non-Muslim world is weak, it's like if a gang is moving into a neighborhood. People say, why don't the moderate Muslims stand up? It's like, okay, a gang's moving into the neighborhood. You see them doing drug deals on your front lawn. You call the police. And if the police show up, you're like, okay, we got a safe neighborhood. But what if the police don't show up? What worse yet, what if the gang leader comes up to your door and says, we have somebody on the inside of the police department, and they snitched and said that you called on us. If you do it again, we'll kill you. Are you gonna call the police again?
Right. No.
And so the moderate Muslims, they want to live in a country where there's more freedom. But if the non-Muslim people are, that's why I was, you know, little things, when Hillary Clinton went over to the Middle East and put on the veil, when Mike Pence went over to, you know, Indonesia and his wife put on the veil, they didn't realize that for a generation, the women in these countries were wanting to be more westernized and have freedom where they didn't have to wear the veil.
Right.
And these, you know, these feminists and these women, they're like champion, they're courageous. And when the top Western women come over and submit and put on the veil, it pulls the rug out of all their efforts.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Bill, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to having you back next Wednesday, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Okay. We're going to top our break. We'll have open lines. Stay tuned.
Jahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.